Tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll finish up our series on suffering and why we suffer as Christians. Today, I want to talk about the earthly hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We were talking about the Red Sea scrolls and findings this morning, and archaeologists who uncovered those Dead Sea Scrolls over in the caves. I was telling someone we actually got to go through those ruins there, and where they hid those scrolls. And when we were in Jerusalem, we went to the museum there and looked at all the Dead Sea Scrolls there. But you know what, on some of the caves that archaeologists dug up, they found markers, and they found these words, sad words, no hope, no hope. And I thought about how tragic to bury a loved one believing that you will never see their face or hear their voice again. And some people have no hope today. They have no idea where they will spend eternity. Now, I want you to know there is hope. And you can know about your salvation. You can know where you're going to spend eternity. In Colossians chapter 1, I want you to turn to verse 3. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. Christianity is a message of the resurrection. We talked about the resurrection last week as Easter rolled around. And this week we have a reunion in the message of hope. It says in verse 3 of Colossians chapter 1, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of your love for all the saints." Now, Wednesday night, I'm doing a Bible study, and we're going through the book of Colossians. But when I came across this passage of Scripture, I said, you know, I need to preach on this passage of Scripture. And I want to preach out of Colossians on Sunday morning. So you're going to get a double blessing if you'll come Wednesday night. We'll study through the book, and then I want to bring some messages out of the book. It says in verse 5, Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, that you have just the right people here this morning. You know who needs to be here and who needs to hear this message of hope. And Lord, I pray this morning, if they're sitting there and they're saying, you know, I don't know where I'll spend eternity, Lord, that they might put their faith in you this morning. And God, I give you all the praise, for it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Hope is such a misunderstood word, isn't it? I hope I get to go to the Byron Nelson this year. There's no assurity of that, but I hope to. I hope I get to go to the Colonial this year. If anybody, y'all want to give me a ticket. Never been to the Colonial, but that's just a hope in my life. I hope I have a job next Sunday. You see, we use that word hope in many different ways. I hope I get a promotion next Sunday. You know, there's all kinds of I hope. I hope. I hear young guys talking about basketball. They're playing basketball. I hope I can make the team one day. You see? Hope. But when Paul speaks of hope here, When he says, since you've heard of the faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope, it's not a wishful thinking type of hope. It is a hope, the word says, laid up for you in heaven. It's a surety in your life. It's stored up for you. It's a treasured faith in Jesus Christ. It's a banking term to me. It means to make a deposit, a certainty of what is to come. It's, you know, when I get on a plane, I hope it makes it to the destination. Now, there's a pretty good certainty that it's going to do that, or I wouldn't get on that plane. I put my faith in a pilot. I put my faith in a vessel that's going to take off and fly and land. Well, our vessel that we hope in is Christ Jesus. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it says that he is the first fruits of the resurrection of them that sleep. Because Christ died on the cross, because he rose on the third day, our hope is not a wishful thinking. Our hope is in the vessel of Jesus Christ. Because he lives, we shall live also. I love that song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. I know I'll go to heaven one day. Because the Bible says, Jesus says, his word is true. His word is trustworthy. His word is sure. And that hope that we have in Christ Jesus is sure because he died and rose again. We too, in Christ Jesus, shall rise again. You see, my hope is on Jesus Christ. Do you have hope this morning? Is your hope on yourself? Are you saying, well, I think I'm going to wishfully think that I'm good enough to get to heaven? It won't do it. We have to put our faith in Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13 says, I'm looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was looking for that appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for that appearing. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare what? A place. God's word is true. That place he's prepared for you and I. And I'm looking for, he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Folks, you can count on it. You can bank on it. God is faithful. His word is true. One day he's coming. And I don't know about you, but we ought to be looking for him's coming. We ought to be listening for the sound of the trumpet. For God says, I will come again. Just as sure as you have seen him go up, the man says, he will come again. Is your hope real in Christ Jesus? Can it be trusted this morning? Yes, it can. And Paul says our hope is built in two directions. Let's look at it. There's one on the foundation of which we rest. In 3-6, to the Colossians and to us, Paul says true hope rests on three foundations. One, it's a foundation of the past. The reception of the facts of which you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now, the reception of facts. They had what? They had heard the word of truth in the gospel. These Colossians had heard about the preaching of Jesus Christ. They had heard about the teachings of Jesus Christ. And they had received the grace of God in truth. Simply by faith, they had trusted Jesus Christ. They had heard the word and they had received it into their life. To have hope for tomorrow, we must hear the word. The Bible says, faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The news of the gospel is the good news. It's the news of the love of God to all of us who believe. And folks, today I hear so many people listening to all kinds of stuff out there. They're so mixed up. Our world is so mixed up. People are so mixed up. I go to people and I talk to people and we hear people say, well, preacher, you know, what does it mean when it says this? And will we know our loved ones in heaven? Will we be able to go there and do God's work? I feel so sorry for lost people because many times they go to one church and they hear what somebody is preaching at that church, and then they dislike what they hear and they go to another church and another church is telling them something else in life, and they're so mixed up in what they believe. And then here comes, you know, Sister Frances, she's on television and she's got the charismatic gospel hour and she's talking all about this, and both of them contradict what they've heard someone else say. And they're just confused as a termite in a yo-yo. They don't know which way they're going. They don't know if they're going up or they're going down. And they say, preacher, we don't know what to believe anymore. Well, let me tell you something. You can believe the gospel. You get in your Bible and you start reading your Bible. You listen to the Word of God. You hear what it says to your heart. And you can put your faith in the gospel. Now listen carefully. It can all be summed up in a few words. The incarnation. That simply means God came in the flesh. God became man. He is the Son, Jesus Christ. He said, behold, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You can rest in assurance that Jesus Christ came to earth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can believe in the word called atonement. Jesus Christ simply lived a sinless life. He died a sacrificial death on the cross for you and I. And by his death, he made forgiveness possible for all our sins. You can rest assured that your sins can be covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. He died for you. He died for me. He died for everyone that they might have life. Last week we saw the resurrection. You can rest assured that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Someone said, we studied last week on Sunday morning. Jeremy was teaching a lesson about the truth of the risen Savior. Some people believe he never died, but that's not the facts. The fact is he did die. The fact is he rose again on the third day, just as he said he would. Jesus Christ rose. That's the resurrection. And he sent his Spirit to rest with us and to comfort us. He said, I would not leave you comfortless. He sent his Holy Spirit to comfort our hearts, to guide us. Well, we believe in the incarnation. We believe in the atonement. We believe in the resurrection. Also, I don't know about you, but I believe in the return of Jesus Christ. Like I said a while ago, I'm looking for that blessed hope. God will put an end to history. Somewhere down the line, God says it'll all close off. When the last trump shall sound, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. When he returns, he will put an end to history, and Jesus says he will come at that time, not as the Savior of the world, but he'll come as the judge of the world. And friends, we better have our faith in Jesus Christ. We do that, and you do that by conversion. The Bible simply says God shall save us from our sins. We need to turn to the Savior. He died for you. Repentance and faith. Turn around from the way you're going now. Turn to Jesus Christ by faith. That is the gospel. His death, burial, and resurrection. Well, they received the facts. Paul says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. They received the facts. Well, you can know all the facts you want to until you come to this second point. you've got to respond by faith. You see, they put their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the facts of the gospel require something. When you understand that Jesus came, that Jesus died, that he will return, when you understand all of that, you've got to respond to it. Now, you can hear it from this pulpit every Sunday morning in one form or the other. I always kind of try to preach on salvation. I always want to give you the plan of salvation so you can know how to come to Jesus Christ. But when you hear the plan of salvation, it requires a decision. Now, intellectually, we can believe the facts. But let me tell you, intellectual belief is not faith in Jesus Christ. James says the devil believes and trembles. The devil believes all the facts in the Bible. He understands those. Knowing that you're sick doesn't make you well, does it? I've got a garage at my house, but that doesn't make me a mechanic, does it? No. Some people know all the facts, but they never respond to the gospel. Now, some people respond emotionally. Let me tell you something. They get all emotional in a service, and they respond. They feel like, well, preacher, I feel like I'm saved. And they get caught up with connecting salvation with a feeling. Well, true faith involves knowing the facts. True faith involves emotions, all right. But it also goes on to a volitional response. True faith says, I am going to not only know the facts and maybe emotionally have a feeling about it, I'm going to voluntarily respond to the faith in Jesus Christ. And when we give ourselves by an act of our will to Jesus Christ, the moment we step out by faith and say, Lord, I want to receive you, I am responding by an act of my will, he will forgive you your sins. You see, it's just that simple, isn't it? Know the facts and respond by faith. Now, knowing the facts and not responding is not good enough. Intellectually believing is not faith. You've got to respond to the faith that you know of in Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior of your life and repent. That simply means to turn around from where you're going and turn back to Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you something. You're sitting here and you're responding, or you're hearing the facts. Have you responded to that yet? Well, there's a reception of the facts, and then there's a response of faith. Have you responded in faith to the facts about Jesus Christ? He died for you. The Bible says we're sinners and we need to be saved by the grace of God. You see, if you have, let's go one step further. Look at what it says. They heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it also in all the world. And listen to this. And is bringing forth fruit. Now, when I read that for the Wednesday night study, I was thinking, you know, we have hope. Our hope is reserved for us in heaven. And we have responded when we heard the word of truth through the gospel to faith. And the result of that is fruit in your life. Now, if you have received the facts and responded by faith, you ought to be bearing fruit. It says here, the love you have for all the saints. It all means that we need to love all the brother, not just a certain group, but everyone. We need to learn to love the lost people. Folks, I realize that we love each other in this church. We have a great love in this church for each other. I believe with all my heart, I've seen it time after time again. When someone needs something in this church, there's a need. People step up and meet that need. I see the love for all these young mothers and fathers that when they have babies, you turn out and give a wonderful shower to them. It's a response of love because you have love for the brethren. But do we love the lost like that? And let me tell you something, we don't. You don't love the lost like you love the brethren. Because let me tell you why. When we call for a response to go out and visit the lost, you don't come. Amen or oh me. You see? Paul says here, bringing forth fruit as it is among you since the day you heard it, to everyone. They wanted to get the gospel out. And let me tell you something. In church, we love each other in this church. I guarantee you. You won't find a friendlier church if you're visiting with most of your members this morning. You won't find a better home of love than this church. But some of the most vicious, most low-spirited, selfish people I've ever met are in the church. And I don't understand that. Someone said it like this, to live above with the saints we love, that will be glory. But to dwell below with the saints we know, well, that's another story. We need a love for all people, a love for each other. You see, a saved person is what? A saved person is a changed person. Jesus says, it's born again. Paul says, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Never will forget a story I read about D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody said, he was preaching and an old drunkard staggered up to him and said, hey, Brother Moody, I'm one of your converts. He said, you must be because you're not one of God's. Some of you will get that in a moment. You can be a convert by a man, but until you're converted by God, you haven't changed. You see? There must be a change in your life. Have you heard the word of truth? Have you responded to the word of truth? And is there a change in your life this morning? Do you really have a love for people? And look what it says in verse 5. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Oh, do you look for a future in heaven? Man, I don't know about you, but I look for that heavenly home. Paul turns towards heaven in here. He says, we look towards heaven. What will we get when we get home? What will we have when we get to heaven? I don't know. A new body? Amen. The Bible says we'll have a new body. Paul compares in 2 Corinthians 5, he compares our body to a tent. Now, you know what a tent is? You go camping, you set up a tent. A tent is just a shelter, a temporary shelter. Well, it's a temporary cover to keep you out of the cold and the wet. I don't know about the cold so much. I've been a few nights in tent that it got pretty cold, but it was dry. At least the last one I had was dry. I've had a few that leaked pretty bad. But you know what? Our old body is a tent. He compares it to a tent. It's weak, and in time, it wears down. Now, I don't know about you, but I was aching pretty good this morning. Told my wife when I got up, I went to bed, my legs hurt, and I said, man, my legs are killing me. And my back was killing me. Sore all over. And I know what it is to get a little tired and weak. In a tent, time can rot the tent. You can cut the tent with a knife and it'll tear. But our bodies are weak too. And just to show you how weak, you know, one little germ, man, it just passes, a sickness just passes through the body, doesn't it? Somebody says when we give them to church, we get sick usually because of all the germs. Well, I'm glad to get sick if I'm going to be at church with all of you, but God has blessed me. A virus makes our bodies weak. Make one mistake on the highway and you'll find out how weak you are. You may die or you may spend a lot of time in a hospital bed. But thank God, when I see heaven, the Bible says I'll have a new body. And the Bible gives us a beautiful picture in heaven. It says, as a bride adorned for her husband, we'll be there with Christ, and there'll be no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death. You see, that's the picture of heaven. And I'm looking forward to that appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've got a new body in heaven, a new body that'll be like Christ. I don't know what that'll be like, but it won't be like this one, I guarantee you. And then there's a new universe, 2 Peter 3, 10 through 13. The Bible says the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the heavens will melt away with a loud roar. Oh, heaven, the universe. Man, I tell you what, I sit on my back porch sometimes, running. I sit out there, and we look at the beauty of the trees. And yesterday the wind was blowing, and it was all cloudy at one moment, and the clouds were just passing by. But before nightfall, we were sitting out there, and the sun kind of broke through. And I thought, you know how wonderful it is to sit on your back porch and just watch God's creation. But can you imagine being in heaven and looking out over the universe at all of God's creation? Man, that's going to be a great place. The Bible says this old earth will be destroyed by fire, and a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness will dwell. There's no sin there in heaven, folks. I don't know what all will be done in heaven, but the Bible tells us it'll be, an active place. We'll be singing. We'll be praising God for all eternity. Adoration for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but last Sunday morning when the choir sang, man, somebody said, I didn't even have to preach. I could give the invitation. And that's true. I thought the same thing. I started just to get up and say, how many want to get saved? There'd probably been more come since, you know, then than when I preached. But you know what? That's the way it's going to be in heaven. We're going to praise God. I just like to look up at the Milky Way. You ever looked at the Milky Way and all the stars there and know that it's just one little light out on God's back porch? Just one little light. New heaven and a new earth and a new body. That's what we're going to see. A new nature. In 1 John 3:2, John says, when he appears, we shall be like him. Sinless, perfect, good in every way. You know, down here we hate sin. But sin just keeps bothering us, doesn't it? It just keeps slipping in. We try to live right. We try to do right. But our mind is weak and our body's weak, and sometimes sin creeps into our life and we find ourselves, and Paul said it right when he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who is going to deliver me from this body? Man, I think it was Charles Haddon Spurgeon said that sin will never cross over Jordan. God's not going to let it into heaven. And as Elijah left his cloak, so shall we leave every trace of our old sin nature here when we die, because it's not going to be allowed into heaven. And then there's going to be a new relationship to Jesus. Revelation 22, verse 4, we shall see his face. We shall see his face. You see, we wrestle against the old devil. I don't know about you, but we put on a fight, don't we? We need to take on the whole armor of God. Have you ever tried to pray? Praying is a hard thing to do in the morning when you get up. Praying is a hard thing to do at night when you go to bed. There's so many things that seem like doesn't make sense to you, and you just don't understand them, and you say, well, how do I pray about this situation? But in heaven, the Bible says we'll see him face to face. Just as the two men was on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus come along, walked along beside of them, and they talked with Jesus. They didn't understand things, but you know, as he opened their eyes and they saw who he really was, and he was gone from their presence, I love it when they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he spoke? I believe when we're in heaven, our hearts are just going to be so full of joy and so full of love. I love that song, Face to Face with Christ my Savior. Face to face to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. D.L. Moody said that heaven is not a place where we're going to sit around and float around on clouds all day. Somebody said, well, I'm looking forward to get to heaven. I just won't have anything else to do, just sit around and float. Well, not so. When Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and then he talks over in Revelations about the streets of gold, and I think there'll be streets of gold. I think there'll be colors to see, and resurrection and ears and eyes to hear and see those things. I think there'll be music and voices. I think we'll be praising God, and I think we'll know one another and have a love for one another there and a heart there to love everyone with. Now that's the Christian hope. That's our hope that we have. It says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm going there. My name is written down in the book of life. Jesus said, because I believe in him and put my faith in him, I would go to heaven when I die. I put my hope in Jesus Christ, nothing else. Not my good works, not this church, but Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a question. You've heard the facts this morning. How will you respond to them this morning? You see, you've got to make a decision this morning, don't you? Some of you are sitting there and say, you know, a few weeks ago, we had a lady that came and said, I wasn't really saved when I was young, but I want to do it right this time. Somebody said, man, that's kind of unusual. No, it's not. I did it. I hear Brother Teddy did it. And if I just went down the row, there's a lot of you. Oh, when you was young, you walked down an aisle, but you really didn't know what you were doing. You really didn't respond to the facts. You responded because maybe a preacher or an emotional issue in your life. Or maybe your friend went down and you decided, you know, I need to go down there too. But that doesn't save you, folks. Salvation is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ where you understand that you are lost. You are a sinner. And you need your sins forgiven. And Christ is the one who died on the cross to forgive you of your sins. And you respond to that and say, yes, I want to receive Jesus Christ into my life for myself. Not because of my mama, not because of my daddy, not because of something in the church. I am lost and I need Christ. And Jesus says, when you put your faith in me, I will come in, and you will have the hope of heaven. It's laid up for you. It's just as sure as I'm standing here this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for that heavenly hope. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that there's people here that need to respond. They know the facts, and somehow the devil's got them to believe, well, if I just go my way, I'll be all right. But That's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible says when they stood before the Lord and they said, Lord, we've done this and we've done that, he'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And Lord, we want to respond because of the right facts. We want to respond today because we're lost and we need a Savior. And the Bible says you're the Savior. And Lord, we trust you to save us. It's you who we find, and we find forgiveness of sin. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning that realizes they need Christ, Lord, I pray this morning they'll come. If there's someone here that's looking for a church home, Lord, may they come. Lord, if there's people here that have responded and they're not bearing fruit, they don't have a love for the lost like they should, may they just come and kneel at the altar and say, today, Lord, I want to have a love for all people. I want to see people saved, and they'll bear those fruit that you say they need. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.